not going to... Well, what I'm going to do is show some video clips. I have some two-minute video clips that are going to introduce a section, and then I want to talk about that particular topic for a few minutes. But Luke chapter 2, we'll begin with verse 36. And there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age and had lived with a husband 7 years from her virginity. And she was a widow of about 84 years, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. And she, coming in that instant, gave thanks likewise unto the Lord, and spake of him to all that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. And when they had performed all things according to the law of the Lord, they returned into Galilee to their own city, Nazareth. And the child Jesus grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word this morning. I just ask, Lord, that it would give hope today. Lord, for those that are discouraged and may even be sensing hopelessness, that today they would see the hope that is in you, that they would see the love that you have for them, and that, Lord, you would impart your perfect peace and joy to their hearts this morning. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, they say that the holiday season is one of the most depressing times of the year. In fact, they say that more suicides are committed between Thanksgiving and Christmas than any other time during the year. And it's so easy to get caught up in the preparations and festivities and even the pain that we have in our hearts during the holidays that we miss out on the real meaning of Christmas. And so my goal today is simply to point you to Jesus. He is the reason for the season. And it is all about him. And so for just a few minutes this morning, I would encourage you to leave your world behind and visit again the little town of Bethlehem. And let's let Jesus transform our Christmas into what he wants it to be. The night that God became flesh and dwelt among us ranks as the greatest moment in all of history. It was a night of tremendous miracles. It was a night of great blessings. It was the night that God moved into this world to eventually die. And throughout this story, every Christmas, it's as fresh to me as it ever was. It's like I hear the story for the first time every year. And I hope it's that way in your heart. And so again, let's visit Bethlehem and we'll notice some things about the Christmas messages that were brought to the characters of that first Christmas. And so we'd like to show you, first of all, a video clip on hope.
The Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and will call him Emmanuel. She was growing into a teenager and was living then in the obscure village of Nazareth in Galilee. She gathered the grain during the day and tended the lamp laid into the watches of the night. Her father knew the dedication of her work, her mother the kindness of her heart, her friends the curve of her smile. She stood on the threshold of womanhood. Among all the girls in the village, she had been noticed, chosen, betrothed, a child bride before whom lay only possibility. Her father could walk with pride in the city gates. Her mother could rest in the comfort of her daughter's future security. But then he came, unexpected, unannounced, spoke openly and without shame of pregnancy, virginity, and his son. things men never discussed and women only whispered about behind closed doors. She questioned him about the particulars, but not about the promise. She knew the prophecies, and the angel's words rang true. She would be scorned and rejected, labeled an adulteress in whispers and glances. There would be no more carefree walks to the market, no more happy trips to the well. 400 years her people had waited for hope, but God had been silent. Now he had spoken. The wait was about to end. 40 weeks, and then Emmanuel, God with us.
So the first message is a message of hope. After 400 years of silence, God finally spoke again. And it was a message of great hope. How many of you ever heard of C.S. Lewis's Chronicles of Narnia? You read the books? Seen the movie? More people saw the movie than read the books. That's typical. They contain great truth. They entertain readers of all ages. But Lewis introduces us to four children who find their way into a wondrous land through the back of a magical wardrobe in their uncle's house. It's called Narnia, and it's a kingdom where animals talk and where kings and queens govern from tower-filled castles. When the children first enter this land, they discover that it is under the control of a wicked white witch who rules with an iron fist and a cold heart. And as the story unfolds, one of the children, Lucy, meets a fawn named Mr. Tumnus. He describes the white witch to Lucy by saying why it is that she got all of Narnia under her thumb. It's she that makes it always winter. Always winter and never Christmas. Think of that. Always winter and never Christmas. Doesn't that sound dismal? Doesn't that sound discouraging and depressing? I wonder if life has ever seemed that way to you. One long blast of cold, snow-covered ground, trees with leafless branches, constantly cloudy skies with no Christmas. Nothing to look forward to, no hope. See, the thing is that all people want hope. All people thirst for a life of hope. It's really what keeps them going. It's what keeps you going. It's what keeps me going. When we are trapped in misery, hope says that there is light at the end of that misery. When we are overworked and exhausted, hope is the thing that gives us renewed energy. When we're tempted to quit, hope is the thing that keeps us going. When we lose our way and confusion blurs our destination, hope dulls the edges of panic. When life forces us to sit back and wait, hope is the thing that allows us to have patience and faith and trust. Strauss Wendell says, "When life hurts and dreams fade, nothing helps like hope." Webster defines hope as desire accompanied by expectation of or a belief in fulfillment. You know, and how vital is that expectation? You see, hope isn't merely a nice option that gives us a temporary clear mind to be able to overcome a hurdle. Hope is essential to survival. Hope is essential to your survival and my survival. And perhaps the wonder of Christmas is that every Christmas it reminds us that hopes come true. Our hopes and our dreams come true. Life is not always winter, is it? Life is not always winter. In the Chronicles of Narnia, Jesus Christ is represented by a huge lion named Aslan. And at the beginning of the Chronicles, it is always winter in Narnia because Aslan has not yet come. But when Aslan comes, and he does about a third of the way through the first book, Christmas comes and spring comes again. Father Christmas appears and he brings gifts to the children, tools they will need in their fight against the White Witch. And he's driving his sleigh away and he cries, "Merry Christmas and long live the true King." So in this story, C.S. Lewis is reminding us why Christmas is so special. At this time of year, the reason that we celebrate Christmas is because Christmas brings to us a message of hope. And if you are here today and you're discouraged and you are in despair and maybe even some panic has begun to set in, let me encourage you to begin to look to Jesus, because Jesus comes with a message of hope. Winter will not last forever. Jesus Christ is still the King. He's still the Lord. And He came that first Christmas to offer us hope. His birth, His life, even His death offers us hope. Another, so we've already read those verses about Anna, this widow who had served the Lord so faithfully for so many years, waiting for the long-promised Messiah to come. She finally had the opportunity to hold Him in her arms, the person she had hoped for all of these years had finally arrived. Now, I would suggest to you today that there are two things that you have to remember when it comes to hope. And the first is this. Hopes can come true at Christmas if we remain young at heart. Anna maybe was old in years, but she was young in heart. She never lost that hope. She never lost the sight of the fact that the Messiah would come. And in her greatest dream, she would be able to hold the Messiah in her arms. She remained young at heart. I would encourage you today to remain young at heart. Keep those hopes, keep those dreams, keep those desires alive. Keep them young. And the second thing is, our hopes can come if we put our hope in the right person. See, the person that can fulfill our hopes, and the only person that can fulfill the true, deep down, longing hopes of our lives is Jesus Christ. I would point you to Him today, that during this time you would not lose sight of Jesus. It's so easy to get caught up in all the other festivities of Christmas that we miss the real person of Christmas, that we miss the real gift of Christmas, and that person is Jesus. And the third thing is that hope is something that is meant to be shared. When you have hope, you need to share that hope with others because it encourages them then to have hope. One of the greatest gifts is hope. People need hope. If you have hope, make sure you're sharing that hope with other people. Christmas time is a time of great sharing. Let's share our hopes. The second video clip is a video clip about love. Let's watch that.
He's not known in the city streets. There's nothing about his face or appearance that would draw others to him. He lives as one without a home, migrating from hill to hill. He is as weathered and hard as the stony hills of Judea on which he tends his flock. His sheep know him. They recognize his face, follow his voice, respond to his touch. In the morning, he leads them out to green pastures. In the heat of the day, he rests them beside still waters. And in the evening, he counts them, calling each one by name, attending to their wounds with oil and comfort. At night, he lies down in the mouth of the sheepfold, his body becoming the door, the only source of protection against the elements and enemies outside. His eyes are keen, able to scan the horizon by day and penetrate the darkness by night. His ears are sharp, alert to the sound of danger and the individual cry of a wandering sheep. His shoulders are strong, bearing the burden of the young and the weak who can no longer bear the journey. It is to him the angels come. It is to him the message is given, and he responds. Through the little town that knows not his name, from house to house he moves, bearing the burden of love, willing to share it with those who will listen. A savior has been born. A shepherd who will give his life for his sheep. A lamb who will give his life for the shepherds. For the child of the stable is the shepherd of love.
There's a lot of great analogies we could make about Jesus being the good shepherd. But he is a shepherd of love. And he is the source of love. No human love can match the kind of love that Jesus has for you and for me. His love was totally unselfish. His love was not attached with any conditions. You know, he risked loving us. There's no guarantee that we would love him back. But his love is always pure. His love is always holy. Always seeking to put others first before him. His love is given freely without the hope or desire for anything in return. In fact, God loves us because the Bible describes God by saying God is love. That's what God is made of. He is made of love. His love is never ending. His love is always given first. We love him because he first loved us and gave himself for us. He's the source of love. But look at the scope of his love. We are told that God so loved the world. The scope of God's love is far-reaching. It reaches into the whole world. The word so indicates the depth of his love. It describes the manner of his love for fallen men. God loved us, was so motivated by love that he sent his only begotten Son to die on the cross for lost humanity. But think about this. This is an uncommon love. You know, somebody might risk their life for somebody that they love, or they might give their life for somebody that they love, but God loved us while we were still unlovely, while we were enemies of him. God so loved the world that he gave. By its very definition, this love is no ordinary love. It is a special love that seeks to give itself away on behalf of the object's love. Of course, the very nature of God is love. The greatest thought to grip the human mind is a thought that comes to us even as a little child. Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. And do you know that there is nothing that you can do that would make God stop loving you? Nothing you can do that would make God stop loving you. God loves you. God loves you so much, He gave his son to die on the cross for you. But God continues to love you. In recent days, I had somebody say, heard somebody had said, you know, why did God stop loving me? Can I suggest to you, if you feel that way, God has not stopped loving you? God still loves you as much today as he always had. God will never, ever stop loving you. We look at the sacrifice of his love. The true value of love lies in what love is willing to give to its objects, its love. And if that's the case, then God gave us this indescribable gift in Jesus Christ. He demonstrated the greatest kind of love because he gave the greatest gift he could possibly give. This love was a sacrificing kind of love, a self-sacrificing kind of love, the kind of love that will do something for the object that it loves. See, God loved you so much that his love prompted him to do something, and that was to die on the cross so that you wouldn't have to die in your sins, so that you wouldn't have to go to hell. You know that many people love, like the man who called his girlfriend and said, "Darling, I love you. I would cross the burning sands for you. I would fight a jungle full of lions for you. I would brave anything just to be with you because I love you. And if it doesn't rain tonight, I'll be over to see you." God's love knows no boundaries. God's love would do whatever it takes, to demonstrate that love for you. The third video clip is a video clip about joy. Let's watch.
Few would have considered it a silent night, a holy night. Travelers jostled in the city gates. Weary fists pounded on closed doors, pleading on the outside, arguing from within, all to the same refrain, no room. Among the houses rang raucous Roman laughter, census takers with comfortable quarters and plenty of food and wine. There is little peace and less goodwill between stranger and villager here. Somewhere a dog barked, a lamb bleated, a woman moaned, and a baby cried. Out on the hillsides, exposed to the cold night, without even a stable for warmth, shepherds huddled around the fire, guarding their flocks against thieves and wolves. Suddenly, a light to split the darkness, a voice, a song, a chorus of angels. Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. Unto you is born this day in the city of David a child, a son, a shepherd, a king, a savior, which is Christ the Lord. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill to men. Awaken, O little town that cannot sleep. Hear the shepherd's words, the angel's message, and arise to a sound unfamiliar, the triumph of joy.
In this last message, I'm going to put peace and joy together because I really don't think you can have one without the other. The angel came and announced both things, joy and peace. Peace with God can happen because Jesus Christ is our peace offering. Now, a peace offering can be defined like this: a gift or service for the purpose of procuring peace or reconciliation. The Hebrew people understood this concept because the Old Testament contained dozens of references to their bringing sacrifices or peace offerings to the temple to atone for their sin. It was very clearly spelled out how an individual was to pay for his sin. They could bring a certain kind of animal to sacrifice. But you see, Jesus Christ came to be the peace offering for all of mankind. When he died on the cross, he took the full wrath of God on himself. He bore our sins in his body up on that cross. And so he is the peace of God that people so much yearn for. Many people don't even realize that. But since Jesus took the punishment for our sin, we can have our sins forgiven. We can enjoy the kind of relationship with God that Adam and Eve had with the Creator before they ate of the forbidden fruit and before they sinned. And the truth is that when such peace dwells within men, there can be peace among men. One of the most stirring, dramatic events of World War I took place on the first Christmas of that dreadful war in 1914. After 5 months of unending slaughter, the colossal armies of the German Empire and France and Great Britain had fought themselves into a standstill. In Flanders, the trenches of the German army faced those of the British army, separated by a no-man's land of barbed wire fences. Picture this in your mind's eye. All about them, the desolate, bleak country was strewn with the wreckage of the terrible struggle of these armies. Blackened and ruined villages, smashed churches, jagged trunks of trees cut down by the artillery, and everything covered with a sea of yellow mud. Everywhere were the dead, the dead of a month ago, the dead of a week ago, the dead of yesterday, of last night, strewn like litter over no man's land. Then came Christmas Eve, 1914. Standing on their platforms in the trenches, troops from both sides watched for an attack. But none came that night. Finally, the night passed and Christmas Day dawned. It was the birthday of the Prince of Peace. The soldiers knew that every morning the whistles would blow and an attack would come. But this morning, there was a great stillness that covered both lines. British troops responded to this amazing silence by raising hastily prepared signs that said, "Merry Christmas." And soon carols were heard from both German and British trenches. Suddenly the British soldiers saw three gray-clad soldiers rise out of the German trenches. This time they came without bayonets or hand grenades. Slowly, cautiously, and at first with pathetic hesitation, they approached and passed the line of their own barbed wire and stood unprotected in no man's land. In a moment, before the officers realized what was happening, men by the hundreds were scrambling out of both the German trenches and the British trenches and running forward toward each other. The soldiers who yesterday were seeking to kill one another now shook hands and wished everyone a Merry Christmas in broken English and German. Then they began to sing the songs of Christmas together, each in their own language, heralding the birth of the Prince of Peace. All day long on Christmas Day in 1914, these enemies celebrated Christmas together in brotherly friendship by singing and exchanging small gifts. At one spot along this odd front, the British played soccer with the Germans, who won 3-2. But no one seemed to mind who won. In some places, the spontaneous truce continued the next day, neither side willing to fire the first shot. Finally, the war resumed when fresh troops arrived and the high command of both armies ordered that further informal understandings with the enemy would be punishable as treason. Again, this story just reminds me that Jesus is the source of peace. He is the Prince of Peace. He's the only one that can end wars. He has done so because of his life, his death, and his resurrection. He ended the ultimate war of all. He ended the war between God and man. He broke down the middle wall of partition among us. And he became the sacrifice of peace. He is our peace. He has broken down every wall. He is our peace. He is our peace. As Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 14 says, He Himself is our peace. He Himself is your peace. If you have not made peace with God, the way to make peace with God today is through Jesus Christ. He is your peace. He has made it possible for you to have peace with God. But again, this is a message that we must be willing to share. We are to go and tell it on the mountain, as the Christmas song says, over the hills and everywhere, that Jesus Christ is born. In Romans chapter 10, Paul says, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. There's nothing that can give peace like knowing that your sins are forgiven and that you've been reconciled to God and that you've been born again, that you have been saved. Nothing gives peace like that. Remember the words of the old hymn, when peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul. Though Satan should buffet, though trials should come, let this blessed assurance control, that Christ has regarded my helpless estate and has shed His own blood for my soul. My sin, oh the bliss of this glorious thought, my sin, not in part, but the whole, was nailed to the cross and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, oh my soul. Can you say, it is well, it is well, it is well with my soul? Don't those words move you? It is well with our souls because of what Jesus did. He came to this earth not just to be born. He came here to be born to die. He came to restore the peace that was lost through sin. And isn't it a wonderful feeling? There's no feeling in the world like knowing that your debt of sin has been paid for. Nothing can calm the soul like having a relationship with Jesus Christ. But Romans chapter 10, verses 13 through 15 says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But how then shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in Him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? You see, you need to preach this message of hope and love and peace and joy. It's up to you and I to preach it, because how are they going to hear unless somebody preaches it to them? And how shall they preach unless they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. One more video clip that I'd like to share with you this morning. And this video clip, I believe, takes us through the whole range of emotions and feelings. When somebody could have been hopeless, there's a message of hope that came to them. But then ultimately, they took that message of hope and they preached that message of hope and love and joy and peace to others. This is a story that just blows me away. Perhaps you have heard it. I wanted to share that message with you this morning because the message is this: you can make it. You can make it. No matter what you're going through, you can make it because of Christmas. Because of the messages of Christmas, the message that there is hope. This is not it, folks. This is not the end. This is not all there is. Someday Christ is going to split the eastern sky. And the clouds are going to roll back. And Jesus is going to come for us. And He will take us to heaven, to a beautiful home that He has prepared uniquely for each and every one of us. The message is a message of love because Christ went to the cross and died for our sins. And no matter what happens, we know that our sins are forgiven and we have a place in heaven. We have been forgiven. We have been pardoned. We have been cleansed from all iniquity. And in the midst of the greatest tragedies, there can still be peace. I can't explain it. I can't explain it. And that's why Paul, I think, called it the peace that passes all understanding. But it's there for the Christian. God imparts the peace. There's no humanly way to define it. There's no humanly way to get it. But it's a supernatural peace that comes over the Christian that is simply a gift from God. And this peace will guard your heart and your mind. in Christ Jesus. And so simply, I just want to encourage you today. Probably what you're going through is not as bad as what Horatio Spafford went through. And yet he was able to have peace through it all. And as he came out of those tragic situations, he actually had a message to share. So let me tell you about what's happened in my life. Let me tell you about Jesus, who gives me hope, who gave me his love. And despite all of I experienced, I still have peace and joy. That's the kind of God that we have. That's the kind of God that I want to serve and I want to live for. And if you're here today and you've not invited this kind of God into your life, into your heart, he's just waiting for you to say, I open my heart's door, come on in. Don't be like the innkeeper who said, there's no room in my heart, but open your heart's door wide and let the King of Glory enter in. Could I have your heads bowed and your eyes closed this morning? Is there anyone here? Say, Pastor, I have not opened my heart's door to Jesus. I've not let him in. But today I would like to do that. I'd like to open my door wide and say, Jesus, come on into my heart. Come on into my life. Be my Savior. Forgive me of my sins. I need your peace. I need your forgiveness. I need to feel your love. I need to experience your peace and your joy. Is there anybody here like that? Say, I'm opening the door to Jesus. First time in my life. Pastor, would you pray for me? Is there anyone? Maybe you're here today and you've got some things going on in your life. Is robbing you of hope and joy and peace. I simply want to point you to Jesus today. He will never fail you. He will never let you down. But the reason for Christmas, the reason why he came, is so that today even you can have hope. Today even you can experience his love. Even today you can have peace and joy despite what you're going through. How many are here today and say, Pastor, would you just say a prayer for me? There are things in my life that are robbing me of peace and joy and hope. And I'm going to look to Jesus. Would you pray for me? Could I see your hands? Amen. 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 God bless you. Thank you. Father, right now I pray for those that are going through things in their life that are trying to steal these things that you have come to give us, these things that Christmas represents. I ask, Lord, that you would renew their hope this morning. May you be drawn close to them. Lord, that they would feel your love and the scope of your love, the magnitude of your love today. And Lord, I pray that you would move in and give them that peace that only you can give, and you would restore their joy. We ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen.